If you believe that God will speak to you today, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you believe that God is going to communicate His will and His person, His character to you today, His power through the entrance of His word, give me another amen.
Amen.
But let's declare the word of understanding as we usually do. One, two, let's go.
Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. If you believe that, give me an amen. Amen.
Can you go turn to two, three people? Just go around, greet like 8 people, yes? Yes, count. 8 people, which will require you to shift your important self from your seat. Bless the person today. Say, the wisdom will come to you. The Lord will talk to you. Yes, I like that. Leave from your seat. Move from your seat. Yes. Say, wisdom will speak to you. Understanding will bellow on you today. Insight will come to you. In the name of Jesus. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I like that scattering. It's very good. Everybody move around a bit. Okay, let's open our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. I want us to start from there today. Jeremiah chapter 10. Now, the text I'm using today, I could have used hundreds of Bible references. I just felt like reading this Jeremiah chapter 10 because I read it recently and I was so blessed by it. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 10, we read from verse 1 to verse 17. Like I was saying, we could have used many scriptures, and when I start teaching on what I want to teach today, and we are going to pray, it's our school of prayer, you will see the reason why I say that. Now, I want all of us to read. Well, how do we do it? One, two, right? Okay, if you all say so. All right. Let's start reading. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, and then we'll read verse 17, the last one together. All right? Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Nations, and do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them. For the customs of the peoples are delusion, because it is wood cut from the forest, the work of the hands of a craftsman with a cutting tool. Verse 4, they decorate it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, so that it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field are they, and they cannot speak. They must be carried, because they cannot walk. Do not fear them, for they can do no harm, nor can they do any good. Verse 6, there is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. Verse 8, but they are altogether stupid and foolish. In their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Ophaz. The work of a craftsman and the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all this work of skilled men. Verse 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At His wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure His indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding He has stretched out the heavens. When He utters His voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and He causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. Verse 15, they are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. 16, let's go. The portion of Jacob is not like this, for the maker of all is he, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Now, what I want to share with us briefly, and then we'll take time out, read a number of these scriptures together. Actually, I had wanted to compile a long portion of it. Maybe we'll do it next time. We'll just start from the beginning and just read and read and read. Maybe read for like 2 hours and just keep reading and reading. Are you getting my point? You see what we want to do? Let me just introduce it today. Maybe we'll do it next time. Now, some time ago, I talked about a new kind of prayer. When I say new kind of prayer now, there's a reason why I talked about that. I think we should read it just so as to remind ourselves of the scriptural foundation for that new kind of prayer that we talked about, the book of Malachi. Let's see what it says there. Malachi was speaking in Malachi chapter 3. From verse 11, just listen, I'll read it. He said, your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, how have we spoken against you? He said in verse 14, you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge? And that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts. So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. Verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possessions, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. And now talk about the day coming as like a furnace, and when all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff, and the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, he says, the sun, that is the shining sun of righteousness, will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip like the calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Now, we have read from that portion of chapter 3 into those first few verses of chapter 4 of the book of Malachi to emphasize something here. You will see, let me now go back to what I was saying. So then I talked about this, and I just feel like emphasizing it again in a short series of teachings which will begin from today. All right, in what I call the new dimension of prayer then, in which I described it as our conversation. Now, what I'm bringing out here is that you see these people, they did not know they were praying. They were not praying. They thought they were speaking how? To one another. They were speaking to one another. And the Lord was paying attention. And based upon what they said to each other, not what they said in the prayer meeting, not what they said, you understand, when one pastor stood in front and said, everybody repeat after me. No. It was what they said when they were counseling one another. When somebody had a problem and they went to his friends, they let us discuss, what am I supposed to do? Or the matters of the country came up and they were discussing. It was those things that they said that the Lord paid attention to. And that's one thing about Christianity. Many of us end up learning the language and we speak it when we are among Christians. What we have called Christianese. We know how to say it is well. We didn't see you in church yesterday. What happened? Ah, thank God I'm strong. Are you getting the point? You are strong, so you did not come. You understand? It's our Christian needs. You understand my point? So asking somebody, please, can you give me some money? Say, sow into my life. Are you following me? That's part of our Christian needs, our Christian language. Sometimes we learn those things. The Bible says that their fear of me is after traditions, that the fear of, there's a way to say it, that is by rote. People have learned to repeat some things that is not from the heart. Sometimes people do like that. We learn the language, okay? But then when we now go quietly, you know, we're in our bedrooms with our spouses, we are with our friends, and want to talk, say, oh boy, let's be practical. Let's be practical. Let's leave this church thing aside. You know, are you getting my point? That is when you know what people really believe. And that's really the painful part in Christianity. Many of the things that people say, they don't believe them. One of the things I learned early as a preacher was, of course, I don't even know how I learned it, but I just knew it was wrong to do otherwise, was to never say anything from the pulpit I don't believe. Do you get my point? Actually, the person that I remember quoting about it is Elihu. Elihu said, I don't flatter anybody, lest my maker takes me away. Elihu understood that if you make it a habit to say things you don't believe, you are offending God on a daily basis. So many times what we do, a lot of us, you know, even preachers, we'll stand up, we preach what we are not convinced about. Are you getting my point? John said, that's not what ministry is supposed to be. Ministry is supposed to be what you have heard, what you have seen, you understand? What your hands have handled concerning the word of life. That is what you deliver to people. Stop saying things you are not convinced about. All right? That's the problem a lot of times. Christians, when we are in our quiet moments, that is when we really start talking to one another, and we don't realize that God is actually paying attention at such times. We go come for all-night meeting, we repeat prayers for hours and hours, and we dance and dance, and we lift our voices, we sing songs to the Lord. But there's one thing we forget, that as we are going back home, God is in the car. He's listening to what we are discussing. When we sit down and say, let us pray for the affairs of this nation, and then maybe election is coming up, people will gather in churches, and they will pray and pray and pray. Then when they finish the prayer, they are going home, they will now start discussing with you. The problem with this country, when you hear them tell you what the problem with the country is, there's no God in the talk. The problem is Lord Lugard. What's the name of his girlfriend? Flora Shaw. That's the problem. I actually saw a man, he wrote a book. I said, if I believe that, I must be thoroughly, thoroughly confused. That the foundation of Nigeria was laid in the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, where Flora Shaw and Lord Lugard and some people went to for an aquatic meeting. And I said, if you don't stop this prophesying, God will soon close your mouth. There are things you don't see. You take the power away from God. The Bible says he's the governor amongst the nations. You're not telling me that one occultist, a group of occultists, they are governors in the nation. They are not. They are not. Sometimes people get confused. They get confused. A man actually said it, prophesying that people went to the bottom of the ocean. That was where Nigeria came from. I felt like asking him, where did America come from? Where did the UK come from? Where did Australia come from? South Africa? Are you kind of like Japan? When you finish, you see that God has no power again on this earth. Because everything is decided in the bottom of the Atlantic. And when it's Japan, they go to the bottom of the Pacific. And when it's Middle East, they go to the bottom of the Mediterranean. Do you understand? Where do they determine the destiny of Europe? That's bottom of the North Sea, or where? Nonsense. Are you getting my point? And people actually say these things and expect, you know. Now, this is what I'm trying to explain. When people start analyzing the issue of the country, they've just left church, they've just finished praying, then they settle down. What is the problem with this country? Ever since Buhari came to power, I knew that what we need right now, you see, forget this man. What we need is for Christians to gather together and vote the kind of candidate they want. Because, you see, and they'll finish analyzing. So what's the way forward? The way forward right now is for us to put aside our differences and join our hands together and cast away the hegemony of the ruling class. They ask, who's the ruling class? The man talking. He doesn't realize that the other people in his office think he's part of the ruling class. And one day they are going to cast away his oppression and throw him away. One of the things I'm learning these days is to redefine myself. What I mean by redefine myself is this. This is where I used to look at other people. I didn't realize that I'm not being looked at like that. One day I was in my office talking with, the rulers of a federal government parastatal. Are you getting my point? And they said, the problem is leaders. I pointed at this man was our director of finance. I said, you are telling me? No. He's currently the director of finance. Before that time, when the office of the director of finance, he was an assistant. I said, we are here, and you are telling me the problem of leaders. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Let me not sit on that. Now, where I'm going is that these same people just left church, and they prayed to God. And then by the time they are leaving, by the time they sit down, of course, as they are leaving in the car, and they get to their homes, they are discussing,
They now start telling the problem of the country is leaders. If the problem is leaders, why didn't you go to church and just sit down and talk only about leaders? Why were you praying about mercy? Why are you praying for the power of God? I don't know whether you get my point. Listen, that's why I introduced it then, and I want to continue on it today. That when you converse with one another, that is part of your prayer life. I hope you're getting my point. And many people undo the prayers they had prayed. Not even in church. They gather in the morning, man, wife, children, and they pray. Then as soon as they finish, the children have gone, they will now sit down and start analyzing the problem of the country. And what is the solution? Oh, do I need to tell the solution they prescribe? Once you can just get a visa, all the problems of your life is over. They are all over. Now, what am I saying to us again? We don't realize that that is part of prayer. And when we finish like that, you know what we have done effectively most times? We have annulled all the prayers we prayed before then. That's what we do. Without realizing it, and that's why I have to correct us again in case we are falling for that, we annul all the prayers we have prayed by the time we are talking with one another. And that's because unconsciously we think that at that time we are not praying. But the Bible has shown us here. Malachi, God said to him clearly, he said, those that fear the Lord spoke to one another. They were not talking to him, but the Lord gave attention. Let me read it in my Bible again. The Lord gave attention and heard it. Please bear that in mind. That the things they were saying at that time, you will notice, determined how he responded to them. Concerning those people, let's talk about those who feared him. He said, they will be mine. You will see that God began to bless these people and pronounce a blessing upon them. And he said that the day of trouble is coming, burning like a furnace. That day, I will remove all the arrogant and every evildoer. And I want to bring out something here that you will notice that the way the people you call arrogant and evildoers, you please bear this in mind, how they speak is an expression of their arrogance. I hope you're getting my point. That when people talk to one another, God is determining at that point in time whether he will save them on the day of trouble or they will be swept away in the day of trouble. He said, but to you who fear my name, how do you know those who fear his name? Is the kind of things they speak to one another. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. That's why then we talked about it. When we are conversing with one another, we are also praying. Our words, you know, we're talking about how to build up our faith. We must deliberately construct our words around scripture. So that if your child, not your child, your wife comes to you or your friend comes to you and he says that, hey, I did a business, your friend, and this is what they stole my money. How much did you lose? I lost a total of 3.8 million naira, and I trusted those people. Instead of start shouting, they will die. All these people, that's the problem with this country. You start talking. No, relax. You're talking to your friend. Do you get my point? Know that how you are going to respond to him will affect what will happen to both of you. I hope you're getting my point. So he said that we give thanks. And listen, it's not only when you're in church you give thanks. At that point, I say, we give thanks. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They meant it for, now remember that, they meant it for what? Evil. But I know that all things work together for good for them that love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Money, even if we lose money, we must not lose the spiritual lesson. And you're talking, you have calmed down your anger because you know the Lord is listening. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, the fact that you know God is listening is part of the ways you constrain yourself to do right. If you go and read Psalm 139, David explained it, that God has encompassed me round about. Where can I hide from your presence? Where can I go away from you? That is, before there is a word on my mouth, before the thought lands on my heart, you know about it. You know what that means? Don't think evil thoughts. God is hearing it. I don't know what I get my point. If you read Rick Joyner said in his book, Final Quest, I've recommended that book so many times that if you have not read it by now, I know my enemies. You are one of them. Are you getting my point? Yes. After all my recommendations. The way you're looking at me, I'm suspecting you. Have you read it again since you heard me recommend it? You are still one of them. That is good. You should read this book, The Final Quest. You should. It's a very beautiful book. A lot of lessons inside it, all right? Now, Regina said that the angel, he'll be thinking one thing. The angel will give him an answer. Say, how do you know what I was thinking? Let me now add my own words. You were thinking, I heard it. That is like, these are not thoughts. They are words. To you, you think they are thoughts. But to us here, we can hear these things. Let me just add something to you before I go back to my message. What's his name? Australian prophet. Neville Johnson, thank you. Neville Johnson will say that even your feelings can be detected in the realm of the spirit. I want you to understand that. Your feeling, if you are afraid, angels and demons, they can detect. No, I don't use the word detect. They can see it. It radiates as colors. If you are afraid, they will see it. They see the fear. You can't hide it. They see it. And the way he said it then, he said, people ask him that, can demons read your mind? He said, they don't have to read your mind. That if you've seen the realm of the spirit is full of colors, that what's going on radiates around you. So there's nothing hidden when you get to that place. It's important to understand this. So that when, it's not only what we say, what we are thinking, make sure that, you know what David said? Let the words of my mouth and what? The meditations of my heart be what? Accepting. In your sight. Oh Lord, my God and my Redeemer. It's important that what you are thinking is good. If you are thinking bad, you're already committing sin. Jokes apart. That is, you've not done it too. That's why Jesus said that if you look lustfully at a woman, you've committed adultery already in your heart. He said, if you hate your brother, you've not carried a gun. Oh, you're a murderer. I'll be getting my point. That's how spiritual things work. That's how they work. Now, back to our message. So the point we are making is, so let's bear it in mind. It's not only when we pray, we open our mouths to pray, that we're actually praying. When we discuss with our friends, we are praying. When we discuss with our spouses, we are actually praying. And including when you discuss with yourself. You've not called God into the matter. You are just thinking. That's why it's important your thoughts, your meditations, and of course discussion, like I said, with your close ones. Make sure they reflect the mind of God. That's one reason why prayers are not answered. Most prayers people pray, they are insincere, they are not answerable. I don't know what I heard I said. They can't be answered because they are not prayers. They are religious utterances. They don't mean them. Because when they finished, before they went to pray, their discussions did not reflect faith, did not reflect the power of God, did not reflect anything that shows that they recognize that God can solve the problem. So when they come to pray, why would God, if you were God, will you listen? Think about it. Somebody wants to come to your office to come and ask you for something. But he did not know that he mistakenly pressed. No, he didn't know that while he was ringing the bell, that the intercom came on, and he didn't know that your bell is a type that you hear what is going on outside there. So he pressed the bell, switched on the intercom, and you now hear the fellow saying, "Is he inside? Don't mind him." Are you getting my point? So that man, very wicked, very wicked. Last week, I asked him to help me. I committed a small offense. She just bailed me out. He refused. Very wicked. So his friend asked, why are we not here? He said, well, where will we go now? He's the only one that seems to perhaps know people around here. Let's just go and meet him. Foolish man. Then as soon as they open the door, he sees you. Good afternoon, sir. And he prostrates. Oh, correct, sir. May you live long, sir. It is well with you, sir. And he finishes praising you. If you are like me, you won't say you heard him. When he finishes praising you and telling you, my friend and I just said that you are the most dependable person. That once you come into your presence, our problems are gone. In fact, last week my neighbor said you were the one that helped. That is, he starts telling you all kinds of good things. Will he impress you? If you are like me, you won't see anything. You will let him finish. You will shake his hand. Then he will go. Help him. The man who just said you are very wicked. But he did not know you heard it. Now, why I gave that illustration is that many of us don't realize that is how we behave. And which takes me to the next scripture we need to read. Very important. This time around from David. I'm just going to do mostly teaching today. We'll pray at the end, but Psalm 34, we'll read from verse 1, I'll read to verse 3. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be in my mouth when we are in church. My soul, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. I just read that again to emphasize the continual thing he said there. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Very important verse. I read that. That's the main one I wanted to bring out. Just read the previous two to connect with it. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Now, remember I was saying, when we are talking, somebody's talking outside, he wants to come and see a man of power, but he first sits down there and describes the man's reluctance to help, his unwillingness to help, and his wickedness. Then he comes to the man's presence and starts telling the man how good he is. That's the opposite of what David is describing here. David said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So that whether I am praying or I am not praying, his praise is constantly in my mouth. Please bear that in mind. That is, whether I'm asking him for something or I'm not asking him for anything, his praise is in my mouth. What do I mean by his praise? Let's explain it. Because you see, what we do a lot of times as believers is that we praise only deliberately with words that we have learned, rote learning, we've memorized, but we don't realize that we do the opposite of praise most of the time. That is, most times, that's what we are doing, the opposite. What do I mean by the opposite of praise? Let's describe what praise is. Praise is simply to recognize and acknowledge, right, verbally, the power of God. Give me another word. The power is so perfect. Give me another one to just explain it further. The excellency of God. Give me another one. Supremacy of God. All right. Go ahead. I want plenty. Power, supremacy, excellency. Give me another one. Greatness of God. Thank you very much. Another one. The lordship of God. Beautiful. All right. The magnificence of God. The wonders of God, yes, his abilities, right, the control he has over things, that's what praise is. I hope you're getting my point. Now, let me now prove to you that many of times we unpraise him. This is what I mean by we unpraise. We take his praise and carry it somewhere else. Now, what do I mean by that? Please, I need to take a break again and remind us of another doctrine that we've been preaching from this platform here. And that is the explanation of the third commandment. I've heard all kinds of explanations of the third commandment. That says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I have not seen anyone. I think this one I give is still the most accurate I've been able to decipher from scripture. And it fits. It fits. There are three commandments that the list starts with. The first one is what? You shall have no other God before me. Next one is you shall not make a graven image. The third one, he says, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So people interpret that, don't just use God's name anyhow. I don't think that's what he said. That third one is part and well connected to the first two. He said, first one, don't have another God besides me. That is, I, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, whichever we want to describe his name, I am the true God. There must be no other God. Number two, this true God, don't carve him. You've never seen him. So you can't carve him, whether with gold or silver or wood. You can't mold any image of him. Then number three, he said, there are people that have made images before you. Don't change the name of the image and now call it Jehovah or Yahweh, your God. Don't ever do it. That is the third commandment. It fits. If you look at it well, it fits very well. First one, no other God. So we have agreed, only one God, right? But how do we recognize him? Most people have images of their gods. They have an idol, you know, a carving, a molten idol, something like they made a molten image. what's the word they use for that one? A graven image. Okay? A graven image. But we can't make it. So God said, don't make any image of me. You've never seen me before. What, do you know what I look like? Third, people do it a lot. They take one God, remove the name, and change the name. Like David Paulson said, one of his assignments in life is to remove Jesus from Christmas. You know, most of us want to bring Christ back into Christmas. Are you getting my point? He said, no, his assignment is to remove Christ from Christmas. That is an insult. That what happened, how did Christmas start? That a bishop came, a missionary, whatever, and a man posted from the church came to London. This was in England. And he saw that these people would not leave their festival, their Winter Festival of Light. Actually, in one part of England, about 3 years ago, they changed the name back to Winter Festival of Light. That was the original name. It lasted a whole week. All kinds of food, they ate, all the things we do now we call Christmas. That was what they did. So the church said, okay, how do we stop them from idolatry? So they got a signal from headquarters. I think the Pope or somebody told him, change the festival for them. So the man said, okay, henceforth it is not Winter Festival of Light, it's celebration of the birth of Jesus. So they continued doing everything they were doing. This time around, they said, just added a few things and looked for new songs and said it's the birth of Jesus Christ. So it now became a Christian festival. And if a person said, as God will allow him, he must remove Jesus from that festival. Now, that's the apostle. I'm not saying it's Pastor Banky. Banky doesn't care. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Now, I use that one to illustrate the meaning of taking a name and placing it on something else. It can easily be done. Christians did it a lot. We did it with Easter. We did a lot of festivals. We didn't create the festivals. We met them there, then rearranged them, gave people something else to call it. And God commanded Israel, you must not do that with the idols you will meet in that land. He called those idols a vain thing. So don't take the name of your God and do what? Place it on a vain thing. Now, this is the application for Christians. Who is your supplier? Ah, my boss. He mustn't sack me. He pays me well. That is where my sustenance comes from. This is my business. Hey, that's what feeds my children. That's what feeds my wife and my children. You get my point? Without realizing, you know what you have done? We have said Jehovah is not Jireh. My office is Jireh. Do you get my point? It's unconscious. Without realizing it, we do it. We just, without thinking about it, we just take God's name and place it somewhere else. And what I've been explaining to us today is that we usually do it not in prayer. When we are praying, we do the right things. Oh, you God as a supplier. You will supply for me today, today. Then when you get home, this certificate, that is how we have food to eat. Without this certificate, we are dead. Then you start engineering your children to get certificates so that they can have food. Read. If you don't read, you'll be poor tomorrow. And if the child does not get the grades you want, you start panicking. That this boy may not get a good job. This girl may not get a good job. So when we are discussing, you know what we are doing? We are taking God's name and placing it on what? A vain thing. Who is the supplier? It's the country you live in. The country you are living in right now can't supply for you. So find another God to serve. Because the country you live in is God. Which is why God will say, I am God and there is none else. You will wonder, why should God say that? Were we saying there are other gods before? He said, you don't realize, you've been saying it. Remember we're talking about conversation, when we're talking with each other. You hear even Christians join the world in saying, this country, if you can survive till you are 60, you are lucky. If there's trouble, there's no police to call. If you call police, they say there's no fuel in their van. Okay, what is the emergency number of your country? But if you're in America now, before you dial 911, it takes the police 3 to 5 minutes maximum to get to your door. That is why you won't die. Because they'll be there to protect you. Okay, health insurance. We have this shaky, anemic, halting health insurance. But in UK, everybody is on government insurance. You can, they won't tell you that you can, if you need surgery, you can queue for 2 years. They won't tell you that side. But at least it's free. When you get to those countries, like my friend told me, when he was living, one of my friends, many years ago, he said, you can plan for your children. You can plan. You can plan. But here, you can't plan. Listen, people of God, this is taking the name of God and placing it on a vain thing. The destiny of your children, I know I've said it many times, but I will not stop saying it. Peter said, I know you know it already. I will not neglect to tell you. The destiny of your children is in God's hands. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Whether you will live or die, the power of life and death is in, with the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a testimony yesterday. I listened to a message yesterday. I said, from the person that gave me the that he shared the testimony, his message, this has to be get authentic. I told the story of a man. He's abroad. He said, he came out of the hotel and he leaned on the balcony, not knowing that the metal railing was rusty. As he leaned on it, the thing gave way. And he fell several floors, hit his head on the concrete on the floor there. Of course, do I need to tell you what happened? You don't need to tell. I don't need to tell you. So he died. They carried his dead body, certified him dead in hospital, took him down to the mortuary. 2 days later, with his broken head, everything, he woke up and came out. When I heard that one yesterday, I said, Father in heaven. Nobody went there to pray for him. 2 days later, his battered head, everything had been rearranged. There was one man who shared his own testimony before a United Nations session. I have that video. That me, I'm a living testimony that Jesus is the answer. And he told his story of how long he was dead. Then Jesus said, you are not dying yet. Go back. You have work to do. You want to escape. No escape. I added that last sentence. These are real things. So the power, who will live, who will not die, my brethren, is determined by who?
God.
The power is with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given it to him to hold. So when you are discussing, there are statements you make, you insult him. I want you to understand it. That's the point I'm making. There are statements you make, thorough insulting of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you start saying that, what is life expectancy in your country? I say, are you a statistic or a child of God? There are things you don't say. You won't catch me dead saying them. If you saw a dead body saying it, it's not me. That is, while alive, I won't say it. Even if my body died and it says that, toss that rubbish. Just it is not Pastor Banky's corpse. His own is down the road. Because there are things I don't say. I quarrel with believers and unbelievers on the matter. I have a friend. He's as if the only job he has. Did I call him a friend? Anyway, brother, sir. The only job he has is magnifying a foreign country. What's the opposite of magnify? And underfine. manufacture my English, I beg. Underfine Nigeria. He does it all the time. I also have a job of throwing him jabs. There are some jabs I will throw him. I know he knows the scriptures. I will throw him some jabs. He has to shut up. If he won't keep quiet, I rewrite his scripture and drop it for him. He will know where I got it from. He will keep quiet. What I'm telling him, in effect, shame on you. What are you a Christian for? Remember, I started with what? Prayer. When we are what? Talking to one another. Conversing with one another. We started with that. Then I went ahead. Of course, we emphasize the fact that you are praying. And many times we undermine our prayers, not realizing that that's part of prayer. Then I went ahead to explain about the principle of, magnifying, the third commandment, yes, now. Okay, we read from Psalm 34, okay? And then from there, I wanted to explain again the principle of the third commandment. So what was David saying here, Psalm 34? That's what we're talking about. What are you magnifying instead of magnifying God? What does it mean to magnify? We describe praise. Praise essentially is when you magnify God. You cannot pump God up more than he really is. You can't over-describe him. No. What you are doing when you are magnifying God, you are not magnifying him as in him himself. You are magnifying him in your life. You are magnifying him to other people. You are helping them see him clearly. I hope you are getting my point. Like the other day, one of our sisters were talking. She was there when I was preaching, actually. At the end of the day, she said, this one you said now, let's be careful, because this was somebody who every time holds the head of state responsible for many of the things going wrong in the country. And we typically do that. But you know what God said about it? Why do you regard man whose breath is in his nostrils? I drop that scripture and say, hey. I said, how can you say he's responsible? You are telling him he has power. The power that belongs to Jesus. How can you say that? Remember, we're looking at Joseph. They asked Joseph, why are you in Egypt? He said, God meant it for good. You understand what I'm saying? If you ask a normal person, why is he in Egypt? He's his brothers. If you ask Joseph, why are you in Egypt? The plan of God. If you ask David or whoever wrote that psalm, he said he sent a man ahead of them. So if you say, why is David in Egypt? Why is Joseph in Egypt? They say, the Lord sent him there. Do you get my point? Like I've been saying, Christians, you must learn to see God in everything. Ask my wife, some of you think, when my wife and I talk, if she mistakenly says something and she does not put God there properly, she will listen to your 30-minute lecture. Ah. Let me give an example. The extent I carry it to. The car I drive currently, I've had it for some years, and it's been seriously reliable. It's been a blessing. That car, one day, let me tell you what the car did. We left from here, me and Tall Reverend. We went to Ondo to go and preach. Ondo town. Now, Ondo is, when you get, all of us know Ore, right? When you get to Ore, you turn, drive another 1 hour. That's when you get to Ondo town. It was a week we're doing, I told people I'll be able to do Wednesday and Thursday for them. No, I think Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning. Then Friday, our Port Harcourt program was starting. As soon as we left Ondo, it was raining. We drove in the rain constantly through Edo, through Delta, connected with rivers. Reached for that. That is, that car, you don't preach the gospel. There was a day they told me to come and preach somewhere. I couldn't go. So years ago. So I said, okay, Tall Reverend will come. So I gave him the car and gave him my Bible as a sign of a transference of anointing. I said, take the Bible, take the car, go and preach. That car was a car in Anambra State. My car can drive around Anambra State by itself. He knows Anambra well. Just give him a key, say, go to Nobi and get me something. He said, I've rocked this car till today. I can count the number of times that I turned the key and it did not start one hand. First time he did that, it was because the battery that came with the car was dead. So I replaced the battery, so that really doesn't count. Till now, hardly do you turn that key and the car does not answer you. One turn, boom, it starts. There's another time the Kickstarter was bad. So, and this few things in between. So one day, of course, not to, people have said this. So I say, that's why it's good to buy your car new. Did you hear what I said? And that's one statement I revolt at all the time. I tell people, can't you identify the blessing of God? So for most people, the interpretation is that, yes, when you bought it, it was brand new. I said, Jesus, what is wrong with people? People have bought cars brand new, and it did not start that day. And the example I like to give all the time is that of Johnson Publications, the man who owns Ebony. He bought a brand new Rolls Royce for his only child's wedding. The only child he has. A girl. So you know the way it is. He has money. Where else will you spend money? If you don't spend it on your only daughter's wedding. So he imported a brand new Rolls Royce, customized, just for the wedding. The day of the wedding, it did not start. Now that's the extent I take my own things to. They say, this car has really saved you. I say, I thank God. It's a favor of God. I will not take the name of the Lord and place it on a vain thing. You know what the Bible says? God can save with a multitude. He can save with a few. He can bless you and make your life sweet with an old car. He can do it with a brand new one. God can bless, he can save with a multitude, he can save with a few. Please, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go and read God's Smuggler, Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew drove an old car and drove it and drove it. He did not even know he was supposed to service and maintain the car, but the car refused to stop. Then one day the car stopped in front of a mechanic. Obviously, one ninja said, "Ha! Tired of pushing you, my guy. Repair this thing." When they just got there, the car stopped. The car refused to work again. When the mechanic, it just opposite the mechanic shop. When the mechanic came, he looked at the car and said, "No, you are telling me you drove this car here." The mechanic said, "It's not possible. This car is not working. Bros, this is the car I drove." Everything was wrong. This guy did not know cars were supposed to be maintained. Everything was wrong with that motor car. Then the mechanic took it in, corrected everything, rebuilt what needed to be rebuilt, serviced this, changed this. By the time we finished, the engine was almost brand new. Pay was not the issue. When they told him the bill, he said, "I'm coming." It looked like God, "Oh, are you going to strand him?" Then some student stories just said, just asked him, some strangers just counted some money, gave it to him. It was the exact balance he needed to pay the mechanic. He went there, paid his mechanic, and continued driving his car. So, whether it's an old car or a new car, if God's blessing is upon it, it will serve you with peace of mind. But you see, when you take the name of God and place it on brand new, you drive away the blessing of God on anything old in your life. God can bless old clothes so much that they don't wear out. Matter of fact. He does this thing. We are the ones that limit his power. I like one testimony Bishop Oedipo gave long ago. He said, when they started his car, his neighbor said, he's giving knocking sign. He said he came out, laid his hand on the engine, and cast out the knocking demon. And his neighbor's engine knocked the following week. He said the demon obviously came out, entered under vehicle. Listen, pray over your cow. Don't give the glory to Mercedes-Benz or Toyota. This is what we call the glory of God. Give it to him. When you start your car in the morning, give thanks. That is the meaning of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is like praise. You are acknowledging that God, it is you. You are saying it is you. You start the car in the morning, it starts. Don't say, "I like Toyotas. They are very reliable." You are taking the name of the Lord and doing what? Placing it on a vain Toyota. Look, you must learn, that is, please don't miss our Saturdays when we are teaching. These are things you do how? Deliberately. Even when you don't feel like it, say no. If you have a well-paying job, once the money comes, give thanks for it. Don't say, "Ha! When I was telling my friends to read that time so they can have a second class or power first class and get a job in this place, they thought I was joking. Look at it now." There are things you do, God just needs to sack you, like he sacked Nebuchadnezzar. So you're going to be jobless for 7 months or 7 years, depending on how long it takes to correct your head. So when you get to work in the morning, bow your head on the desk. "Father, I thank you for this job. It's my opportunity to be a blessing to people." At the end of the day, when you close, or at the end of the month, they give you a salary. Look at the money and bless it. How do you bless it? Listen, blessing is not only when you say, "Be blessed, be blessed." No. Looking at food and say, "Father, we thank you." When the Bible says Jesus blessed food, did he say, "This food I hereby speak to you, go out"? You know the way we pray for food? We say, "It shall be nourishment to our body." Did he hear Jesus say that? I'm not saying it is evil, but it's not necessary. All he did was what? Give thanks. That was how he blessed food. And the Bible tells you this was where he fed 5,000 after he had given thanks. Thanksgiving is not a trick. It's reality. It's understanding. So he said, "Father, I thank you for this food with which you are going to fill this multitude." The food began to multiply. As he was breaking it, it was increasing. He was breaking the bread, kept on increasing. Until thousands ate. That's the meaning of thanksgiving. So if you give, I pray we understand it. You will discover that you can spend 5,000 naira and it will not finish. And you'll have gotten results of people that had 200,000 to start. The story of the cruise of oil that will not finish. Eh? It's a modern story. Don't think it's only old times. It's still happening till today. The other day, Pastor Chintok was giving a testimony that they will start, I can't remember the details now, but there's a plan they had to do. When they started spending, by the time they finished, the money was at exactly the same level. And they had finished the whole project. One day, Dr. Lufarati was telling his testimony that rice in his house, he was having a lot of visitors. People coming and going, the house was full. Not now that rice is relatively cheap. This long ago, sap days, days of sap. They kept on cooking and cooking and cooking. Then one day his wife said, this rice, won't you finish? It finished that day. That day, the cruise of oil, you know, like the Bible says, it went dry. If she had kept quiet. That they kept on taking the rice, go and bring rice from the back, they bring rice. Go and bring rice, they bring, go and bring rice. One day the woman panics, which kind of rice is this one? That very day, the rice finished. Listen, so these things are real. They are real things. That is the same man who gave the testimony of water. He said he traveled to Ibadan. They had some areas. He said Ibadan, water that time, I don't know about now. Bad. So when he arrived, his mother told him that, good you have come. Because now you'll be able to use your car to be going to fetch water. He said, He had a little baby. He said, no, water will come today. He said, his mother laughed and said, listen, if water was there to start pumping water, this is the last part of the town they'll pump to. Told the woman, don't worry, water is coming today. So after everybody had gone to sleep, he sat in the sitting room and began to pray. He prayed and prayed and prayed until he heard the tap hissing. You know when you know water is rushing down? When he heard it, then water came out, you know, few drops. Then he chased the water out of the house, not the compound. When the thing stopped, he said, you're not going anywhere. He left inside the house, he went outside and continued the praying until water began to flow constantly. So when the force was good and the flow was constant, he went and woke them up, said, come and fetch water. So they filled everything. They had reservoirs, they filled them. He went to sleep. When he woke up in the morning, of course, the water had stopped, but they had filled everywhere. So then those of you are old enough, we used to use aluminium reservoirs. So they to open it. They opened it. His water was to the brim. Trying to cover it. That the day he's leaving, they should check that water to be at the same level. The day he was leaving, after he packed, he stayed for about a week or two, not very sure of how long. Then, when they were about to leave, he had entered the sky, told him to go and check the water. They opened it, was still full. See, God can save with a multitude. He can save with a few. If you understand these things, you will drive an old car. People will be wondering. You will not even sweat inside. I doesn't have a working air conditioner. That's how spiritual things work. Like I say all the time, we are the ones that limit the power of God. We are the ones that do that. We limit God's power. And how do we do it? Simple things like when we are talking. You know my car is old. These old cars, that's it. God said, no problem. Your car is old. And these old cars are not reliable. Be it unto you according to your faith. Once my mother told me, there was a car my dad had that time. I said, how's daddy's car doing? He said, your father's car is fine. That he lays hands on it every morning. That the way she said it, like, the car has to be fine. That is, that amount of laying of hands, you had better be fine. You don't have a choice than to be fine. That every morning he will come out and lay hands on the car. What am I talking about? Not taking the name of God and placing it on a vain thing. We do that a lot. Nigeria has problems. We turn around to whom? The head of state and the ruling party. Any problem in Enugu, we blame the governor. When we do that, you know what we're saying? The power belongs to Muhammadu Buhari. That's what we do. And by that, we limit the power of God. See the way we're going about it? One, when we talk to each other, God is listening. Two, what does it mean to magnify God? What's the principle of the third commandment? That's what I'm talking about. If you remember, where did we begin from? Jeremiah chapter 10. Go back there. And that's what I want us to start doing. When we want to talk, let's stop taking God's name and placing it on vain things. David said, let's magnify God. What does it mean to magnify God? In every situation, in your simple conversations, people of God, don't forget it. Magnify him. If you see what Jeremiah was saying here, we read it together. He said, the people have learned the bad habits of the nations. Verse 1. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations. Like he said, my New Living Translation says, do not act like the other nations. Do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens. That is, don't take your deductions from the stars. Even though the other nations are terrified by them. He said, for the customs of the people are a delusion. They are deceived. What should you do? Verse 6. See what it says. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. Your name is full of power, he says. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations and all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But the Lord is... I've jumped a few verses now. Verse 10. The Lord is the true God. The Lord is the giver of life. The Lord is the giver of prosperity, not any country. Health systems don't give prosperity. The Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Look at verse 12. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Verse 16. I haven't described in verse 15 the worthlessness of other gods, the molten images. He now says, the portion of Jacob is not like this. The God of Jacob is not like this. He is the maker. He said, for the maker of all is he. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Why I decided for us to start with that is to see a man describe God. When David said, magnify the Lord, that's what he was saying. That is when they tell you that, we are going to die. Why? Because health systems are collapsing. You say, safety is of the Lord. And you mean it. Are you getting my point? You are not trying to be politically, spiritually correct. No, you actually mean it. You deliberately mean it. I hope you're getting my point. And don't be ashamed to say it. If you are amongst people that don't understand, before whom the Bible says, do not cast your pearls before swine. You know what you do? Keep quiet. When they are talking, don't say a word. You're either magnifying God or you're not saying anything. Do you get my point? People say, people are suffering in this country. This country is really punishing the youth. Keep quiet. If they say, what do you think? Tell them that in reality, Nabal bows down, Bel stoops over. Is this Bel bows down, Nabal stoops over? Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. That the problem is not the country. The problem is whether we are walking in the will of God, following the plan of God, whether we are receiving blessing from him. If anybody will stretch forth his hands to receive blessings from God, he will prosper anywhere. So don't mind, you people are not realistic. Say, that's my reality. People find it easy, you know, you get my point, to step down, to the reality of the world. They're always trying to drag you down. Let me say this to you. Anyway, they drag you to, that is the limit of the power of God in your life. Seriously. You don't have to please people by nodding to every rubbish they say. If you can't argue, keep quiet. As they are saying their own outside, be saying your own inside. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, what you are doing, remember we say, when you are conversing with people, you are praying. You know? And what I'm saying today is, magnify the Lord even in those conversations. Even with children in the house, I do it deliberately. Listen, my children fall ill once in a while. And I'm a Christian. And I also have medical training. So the unconscious thing, you know, you start program what is wrong. That day my son broke into a rash. I wasn't sure of what it was. First night, I said, don't worry, whatever it is going away. You will be healed. The Lord will take care of you. It will clear. Do you understand? He said, yes, daddy. Then one day I told him the medical name for the rash. Then he forgot. He came back. I said, what's that name again? I said, the name is God is a healer. Go. Told him. I said, no, I beg, don't memorize anything. Why I even told him is I said he wants to be a doctor. He and my mother talked one day and decided that, so he reads anatomy and stuff like that already. He's in GS2. So we're already, he has apps where you come tell me, teaching me anatomy of the bone and all of that. Fine. So that's why our discussion even went into that. So when I came, he said, daddy, what did you say that rash is again? I said, the rash is, Jesus is the healer. Go. Just leave it and go. Once in a while, my wife said, have you checked the rash on his back? I said, I have. He said, hey, how is it? I said, victory. It's going right? He said, yes, daddy. That this is the discussion. The basic discussion is that it is clearing. What I'm seeing is irrelevant. But baseline, he and I will discuss, is going. God is cleaning your body. You are well in the name of Jesus. Now go, go, go. That's the baseline. That is a baseline. It's a baseline. You see, one of the things Christians need to understand again is that when Jesus said that, believe you have, most translation says, believe you have received, it has created confusion for us. What I believe Jesus said is, which is what you find in King James, believe you receive, which is not good English. That English does not exist for us. It's when they try to pick the Greek and toss it into English. It came out as believe you receive. But what we now wanted to make in proper English out of it, we say believe you have received. The Christians got confused. People started declaring things that created confusion. But I haven't examined it up and down. This is my conviction. What he said is that believe you are receiving. Believe the process has started and it is working. So I didn't tell my son, don't worry, your skin is clear. Right now, there's nothing on your skin. Physically, we can see it. But which direction is it going? It's going away. Are you getting my point? So I told from the beginning, I said, you are getting well. This rash will clear. You will be fine. Listen to me. No, at the end of the day, medically speaking, I said, naturally, this is what's supposed to happen, okay? But even if naturally it's supposed to get worse, I won't change that thing. I will not change it. Including in conversations. That's what I'm emphasizing. Hey, what is the cause of all of this again? No. Wait, relax. God is on the throne. Jesus is still the healer. No matter what the cause of all of this is, you know where it's going to end? Healing. That's why Jesus didn't used to bother himself too much on where something started from. They said, who's saying that this one should be born blind? He said, Peter, James, John, why are you giving me work to be this, you know, descending of spirits to check, okay, who's sin? Mm-hmm. Was it him? Mm-hmm. No. That's what Jesus was saying there. He said, what matters is that, he said, I must walk the walk of him who sent me while it is day. That's the glory of God. Jesus just interpreted that thing in light of the end. It's not as if God now took a man and said, let me make you sick. Then when I heal you, I'll take glory. That's cheap glory. God is not like that. So when the Lord said that it's for the glory of God, he wasn't saying that God sat down one day and said, what do we do? Punish this man for all these years. Make him blind. Then we will not take glory. That's cheap glory. That's cheap glory. What the Lord Jesus did was to deliberately refuse to explain why the man was blind. Because he said it's irrelevant. He said what matters is will do the work of him that sent me while it is day. If we do that, you will find this blindness is for the glory of God. Watch it. That's why he said, of course, we know nothing goes wrong for nothing. There must have been a reason. But Jesus, what difference does it make? I can assure you, I told you, I know a lot of science, you know, the science of medicine. I know a lot of it. They don't study in details what has easy cure. Once the cure is easy, the study is normally very low. I don't know where I get my point. Once the cure of a sickness is very easy, what cost it, they don't invest money in it. Because to study these things are expensive. These things are expensive. The studies, it's expensive. So what we do a lot of, let me give an example just to teach us more medicine. There's what we call benign tumors. Tumors, okay, yeah, doctor, you know. So tumors are benign or cancers, all right? The ones that are benign tumors, if I can show you our books. Next to nothing. That's what I do as a specialty, pathology. You ask me what causes this benign tumor, you almost said I don't know. Because the studies on them, very, very, very few. But the deadly killing ones, the books literally that has been written, the books that have been written on the cause of cancers, literally can fill this whole hall. And more. Because we keep looking for it. Do you know why? We have no cure. I hope you get my point. So we are hoping that if we find where it started from, we'll be able to cure it. But the ones who have a cure, we don't discuss it. Where did it come from? Doesn't matter. We carry a knife, remove it, boom, you don't go. Go home, next. Where did it come from? Doesn't matter. Take these 2 tablets, go home, next. Once we have the cure, why waste time? In the same manner, spiritual things, that's how it is. So, Jesus knows that whether you are born blind or you became blind along the way, whether it's your father that sinned, your mother or your uncle conniving with your auntie that sinned, doesn't matter. Now you have encountered me, your blindness is over, sight has come to you. So no matter what it is, no matter the name, we start with the discussion. In this household, Jesus is the healer. And let me tell you, I said this some time ago, I've forgotten it, that I have not done it for some time. I used to do it with my children. In fact, it was around that time we did this teaching, I took it home. When we were doing Bible study in the morning, I said, let's just talk about the Lord. We're not saying anything special, let's just talk about him. No, Jesus heals the sick. Yes. With him, there's nothing incurable. Yes. Eh? He supplies food. Yes. Why do we have food? Just be talking. Are you getting my point? There's no prayer. You're just doing what? You're just talking. I used to tell them, I said, let's talk about the Lord. We did it a number of times, but I've not done it in a while. Even though along the line, we're still, like, recently I began to do a study. I should tell you this joke. As I'm talking about the eternal plan of man, eternal plan of God for mankind, with the children. So I started with Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we had a discussion on that. I said, science wants to tell us that 4.7 billion years ago, nothing was going nowhere. And all of that, and then suddenly it exploded, they call it the Big Bang. So I said, does that make sense? All of them look like, what? Of course it doesn't make sense. We took down for days analyzing why it doesn't make sense. That if you are going somewhere in the bush, nowhere, suddenly see bush, no, nothing. They suddenly just see a straight road, straight with gutters. Will it occur to you that an earthquake caused that? The children said, no, it's not possible. I said, how can this whole complexity of life have come out of nothing? We all agreed. The next day, I went to review what we studied yesterday. I said, what's the Big Bang? My little boy Victory said, Big Bang. Nothing, no time, nowhere, no reason. Boom! My wife and I laughed. That is, I couldn't stop laughing. That's victory for you. He said, nothing, no time, nowhere, no reason. Boom! That's how ridiculous the theory is. We just said that. I said, look, we're just talking about the Lord. He's a creator. We talked about the concept of sin. We read Romans chapter 1, what happens to people when they refuse to give thanks, when they refuse to acknowledge him as God. That's also talking about God. Like I said, I'm going to do a lot of talking today. I just want you to understand it. Our prayer, when we are talking with one another, we are praying. When you analyze the situation of your life, you are praying. You are single. You and your friends are discussing the kind of girl or the kind of guy you would like to marry. I hope you know it's a prayer point. Don't kill your destiny at that point. A lot of people, that's how they have murdered their destiny. A man came and wants to marry you. You can't marry everybody now by force. But must you tear them to pieces behind, insulting children of God behind their back? Say, don't mind that one. To he too wants to marry. Rubbish. What does he have? Me, I'll follow him to enter keke. You are talking your rubbish, they go. The Lord is hearing. The Lord is here. Do you get my point? Even in your heart, when you are thinking it, I hope you know he's hearing. There are things you don't say. We can't discuss those things in details now. When you are talking, you are single. You have not married though. You are very, very single. You are straight like one. You are single like one. And then you are these single people now congregate together. And you know the truth? They are all very ignorant. They don't know anything. You now be emphasizing their ignorance. That's not good. What you should just do, once you congregate together, they say, guys, wait till we go talk. We'll talk about women. All right. Proverbs chapter 31, everybody open. Just read it. Don't say more than that. Because if you say any other thing, you will sin. They start saying things like, houses and riches are from the father. From the fathers. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Then tell stories. You know, that time, Abraham sent Eliezer to go and look for a wife for Isaac. Do you know God led him and led him until he found the choice of God? Hallelujah. Oh, let's thank God who's the choice maker, the leader of Eliezer. He led Eliezer then. He will lead us today. That's how to talk. No, you know, there's one rubbish one man of God told me once. I finished sharing the word with him. He said, He said, sir, are you married? I said, no. He said, you are from Lagos. I said, yes. He said, be careful of Lagos sisters. You know, sometimes I used to, from because of them preacher, I used to wonder, what are you preaching? So I told the guy, wait. I opened my Bible for him to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I said, there's a woman whose heart is a snare, whose hands are chains. I said, the one who's pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be enticed. I said, Oga, even if I'm in the midst of a million Jezebels, I won't marry one. He said, amen, amen. Yes, I thank God. That was the answer I gave him, that God will help me. You did not know me when I was hot. Honestly, all this busy here and there has calmed my head down a bit. Those anything you say, I had a scripture to answer you. He finished talking. I just said, oh God, wait. I quoted Ecclesiastes chapter 7 for him. I said, there's a woman whose heart is a snare, whose hands are chains. I said, the one whose prison to God will escape, the sinner will be enticed. I said, what I need, sir, is to make sure my ways are pleasing to the Lord. Let there be 1 million Jezebels around me. I will not be entrapped by any one of them. That's how Christians talk. That's prayer. I hope you get my point. It's not when you are finished talking nonsense. Women are very dangerous. They cannot be trusted. And you know, Christian men sit down and discuss like that. Say, look at them as they are coming to church. You don't know what's inside their heart. You say, you know that sister now? Which one? Sister Angela. I know her. I don't trust her. See the way they work out like me. Say, people like that. That is, you spend so much time talking nonsense, you cannot be blessed. They will not be telling stories. You know, one of the things, one day, I was with some of our friends, this was shortly after I came to Enugu. When Mr. Abis was open that time, one day, some of us were talking. Do you know, people were talking, Christians were discussing stories of infidelity. After a while, I said, it's enough. We thought we were talking about the bad things society we should not do. I said, don't you have positive things to say? I now started looking for stories after everybody kept quiet. I started telling all kinds of beautiful stories of what God has done. Don't you have every time you want to talk? You know, I've told you before. Let me repeat it. You see all this rubbish, they fall up and down. Be careful, fraudsters can wipe out your account in one day. There was a man, He went to Abuja. From Abuja, he went to Asokoro. From Asokoro, he went to, you mean another part of Lagos, Abuja. I don't know. Anyway, he went, as he was going there, he heard ping, ping, ping in his phone, and his money was going, he was going. He now remembered that he went for one ATM. If you see an ATM that has yellow color and blue lines, don't go there, you know? And they say they are warning you. They say, forward it to those you love. Be forwarding me rubbish. Scaring me. That's why there was a time, 365 questions to ask before you say I do. I read two or three of them. I said, you can never say I do in your life if you read that book. It's not possible. Just be single. You're not going anywhere. It's obvious. You know why? This book is full of horror stories. There was one guy, he married a girl in London, then went to America, married an Indian, American Indian. Then went to Mexico, married a Mexican woman, then came to Nigeria and married a Christian girl in church. And she did not know. Next time, ask the man, how many places have you married before? That's one story. The next story, there was one guy, he had an Ogbanje spirit. He married the spirit world, came to the physical world, he married, and asked, and his sister married him, and the night of their wedding, he turned to lion. Ask, are you a lion? I looked the book. David said, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I said, stop. You're not helping me. I went to one house. They killed the man. They raped the woman. They used the children to do so. Yeah. This country is difficult. And you forward it. You are a wicked soul. That your phone will die. It will not work again. Say amen now. Amen. You forward that kind of thing. Before you told me, I will call you. I will warn you seriously. I said, my brother, when fear comes into heart, Peter will sink. Don't make me sink. You should not be the reason why I was sinking this life. Why didn't you tell me the story of people who were delivered? I told the story of our brother who told me that fear, he was in the north. The atmosphere was charged. He knew there was crisis. You know this kind of thing? They hear that people are coming to invade. He said, these are bloodthirsty. He gave me the name of the tribe in the north. And he was a youth copper. He said he went to his room to go and pray. He said, then suddenly he felt there was somebody in his room. And he turned and looked. He said, there was this giant black guy. He said, I've never been able to describe him as handsome. He said, to call him handsome is to undermine his appearance. He said, the man was beautiful. He said, his head reached to the ceiling. He crossed his hand like this and he blocked my door. I saw that even air could not pass through that door. A used copper, alone, in one corner of the north where there was trouble. He said, I turned. I saw him. He said, I told him, I said, who is this? Then suddenly in my spirit, I felt, this is your guardian angel. He said, then a peace came upon me I could not explain. He said, suddenly there was peace everywhere around me. And I understood what Paul said. He said, Peter. He said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. You know what he was saying? He said, now we have a prophetic word. Made doubly sure. See, after that day, I don't fear anything. That's why he goes to all kinds of crazy places. He knows he's not alone. Those are the stories I want to hear. For telling me about the people that sank. Listen, you are not a statistic. God watches over you like the apple of his eye. You know? I was into David Poston and he explained that. I understood what that meant a bit before. But when he explained it better, I said, wow. He said, what's the apple of the eye? Is this black part of your eye. He said, when he said God watches over you like the apple of the eye. So what it means is that God is the eyelid. You know what happens? When something goes near your eye, what's the first thing that happens? The eyelid drops. He said, that's how God watches over you. Is the eyelid is watching anything? Bam! He blocks it. Say, don't come near here. Ah! The thing struck me. I said, oh, that's what it means. Those are the kind of things you should share. You should share it. You should share stuff like that. David said, magnify the Lord with me. Talk about God who has delivered people in the times of trouble. I remember once I went to somewhere, near that This is Ogui Road. You know? Anyway, there was one man, one tailor we had that time. I went to his shop to go and collect something. So, you know, later on, it was after it had happened, I realized that what God must have done. I was driving a sharp car, you know? Cars are sharp. I had a V-boot, what they call V-boot, 300E that time. So I parked it on that side street. It was the only car parked. Later on, I realized that those boys must have been after me. It made no sense to think otherwise. I came from work. I was well-dressed, wore a tie, a shirt. You know, looked like a responsible. I walked into that place. Suddenly, I looked outside. I said there was a bit of quiet. And a 505 was walking, and some boys were inside, young boys. And one was walking on the road, okay, following the car, coming towards where I was. And under this thing, I saw the gun, like this. The gun was sticking out, and I could recognize it. And he was walking like this. Then suddenly, you know, I was standing. I was waiting for them to give me something, or I was just standing in front of the shop. It was that time, I don't know how many of you were in Enugu that time, when armed robbery was a serious matter, putting people in boot. I was driving a V-boot. When I wanted to buy that car, the gist was that, armed robbers love V-boots. You know what I said? I also love it too. I said, it makes two of us. I said, so we will now know who God sent to town and who God did not send. I said, they will leave town, I will abide. I will drive my car in peace. That's why I answered people who told me armed robbers love V-boots. That day, I think they saw my V-boot and they loved it. And the guy was walking to us. Suddenly, I heard his friend say, I forgot the guy's name. Let's assume his name was Emeka. He said, Emeka, come in. Then they entered the car and they took off. And I was wondering later, what did they see? I don't know what they saw. And that guy rushed back into the car with his friends and took off. And I just stood there calmly, like, finished my business and I went home. When it was happening, it was later I realized, do you realize what happened? What just happened? The Lord just delivered you from armed robbers. No, the boy had this gun under his belt and he covered it with his shirt. And I could identify it. Tell me such stories. What did they see? We don't know. Tell us stories of people, true stories. People say, the reason why we don't come to your house is that those guards are terrible. And the man they are telling say, which guards? He doesn't have guards. I can stand here and be telling you stories. My auntie, I told you, I don't know what they saw. But I can tell you the ones that people saw. The one that happened in Surulere. A woman came out early in the morning to go for early morning mass. Boys were waiting. Arm robbers. They opened the gate for her. She drove her like this. They blocked the car. And then two men just showed up from nowhere. They described them. One was tall, not lanky. The other one was shorter and thick. Both of them wearing white. And the thieves, you know what they call disappearing? What they saw in details, we don't know. But one of them just went, held the gate for the woman, to either drive back in or continue moving. When she was gone, they locked the gate and they walked away into darkness. Should we stand here and be telling angel stories? People in this hall have come to tell me the angel stories before. My friend was alone on a stretch of road in the north. Hungry because he was participating in a long fast. And his tire went down. He came out, looked at the tires. And two Fulani men came from inside the bush. And said, Oga, he said they spoke perfect English. Your tire is down. Can we help you? They told him, sit inside the car. He said, they didn't ask me one question. They knew where my jack was. They knew where my spare was. They knew where everything was. They jacked the car up, changed the tire, told me they were done. He said, I had 200 naira notes. That is 100 naira notes, two. I took one and gave to them to say thank you. So they collected the money. So I was about to drive off, I turned around to say bye-bye. So I didn't see them again. He said, he was telling me, the ground is flat. He said, where could they have disappeared to? He was going to Kano. He said, when I got to Kano and I parked, I looked. He said, Banky, I'm not mistaken. He said, I saw the money. He said, I am sure. He said, there were just two notes. He said, the other one was in my pocket. He said, the one I gave him was on my seat. He said, that was when I broke into goose pimples. I realized my tire had just been chained by angels. I mean, that's the story you should be telling me. Almost scaring me, but don't bother, they butchered in the bush. Listen to me, you will not be butchered.
Amen.
I will not be butchered.
Amen.
Our Father is watching over us. He has given his angels charge concerning us. They will keep us in all our ways. I declare to you under the authority of the word of God and the name of Jesus, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will have no cause to fear any evil.
Amen.
You travel day, you travel night. Safety is your portion.
Amen.
In your going out, in your coming in, you will be safe.
Amen.
If you live alone in a hut in the middle of the jungle, safety is your portion.
Amen.
David said, magnify the Lord with me. So you go through your Bible, and I started doing it. Everywhere I find anything describing God, I mark it. Thank God for Bible apps. Smart devices. If I open my phone, my tab, my computer, once I just click excellency, God's excellencies, you will see hundreds of scriptures line up. When I said I wanted to extract it for you, it was not going to be work. Just time I needed. Just a lineup. Because anytime I'm reading, I mark them. I mark them. We tell you, the Lord is a light. That is, you have no reason to walk in darkness. It's my light and my salvation. He said, I have no reason to fear anybody. He's the strength of my life. Why should I be afraid of anybody? You know my favorite scriptures these days. There is none like the God of Jacob, who rise the heavens to help me, and through the skies in his majesty. He said, the eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath me are his everlasting arms. Say, he has driven out the enemies from before me, saying, let destruction overtake them. That's what we should be discussing. Remember, when we are, and see, I'm not talking about when we're in church. Let's worship eternal God. He is a good God. No, that one is good. He has his place. I'm talking about when we are talking. Your friend comes and tells you, doctor said I have this disease. First, they say, don't worry. There is nothing incurable with our father. We are discussing, no? We have not even checked which medicine they gave. What did they say they would do? And I say, they said that they would say, don't worry. I've thought about it. I think they are wrong. God is good to you. We are just talking. We have not prayed, though. Sometimes God will not even let you pray. You finish that discussion, you will go away. Then you go back to see the doctor next time. Doctor will just say, wait, sorry, excuse me. Please go and run this test. If you're running the test, you look at it. Say, no, I think you'll be fine. Please just take this tablet for the next 1 week. Another 1 week, let me see you again. Then 1 week, say, sorry, I think we're wrong. You are going to be fine. He wasn't wrong. The Lord has changed his story. That's why, you know my gospel now. I don't believe that God does not change the past. He does. It does many things he has changed in your past. You don't even realize it. And he so changed it. There's one scripture I like about God. He said, God destroys some people and he erased the memory of them. Did I read it? I said, what? There are people that existed on this earth. When God finished judging them, there's no archaeological record. That the Bible says God so erases memories that he can wipe out, that God can wipe out memories. It don't mean that sometimes in your life, some things are so painful. You know, abroad, they have this thing they do. Which we do, Isha, psychology. They want to help you to dig into your past to unearth what is controlling you that you don't know. That's evil practice. What God does is to make you forget even more than before. That's what he does. They'll be telling you the trauma you have gone through. You say, me? When? They say, you are in denial. I say, leave it like that. I mean, at peace at least. Say, you are in denial. I say, yes, thank you. I mean, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. There's a way God blesses you, even you are confused. That's what we need to be talking about. That's what we're starting about. Like I said, next time, I'm going to compile a lot. We'll just start. We'll share it. Maybe that's what we should do. Different, we'll read different scriptures. Please remind me that's what I said we'll do. Just be reading about God. We can discuss about it. Should get a keyboardist to play for us in the background. We'll just be reading about him. There are hundreds of scriptures that just magnify God. And the more we magnify him, the more his power is manifested. That's the law of God. Let's rise to our feet and give the Lord thanks. Let's thank him. There are no accidents in life. God is the governor amongst the nations. Please just magnify him. Magnify him. In any way you know. You see, David kept on doing that. Things like, the Lord is my shepherd. That's magnifying God. The Lord is my shepherd. Because of that, I shall not want. He's my shepherd. The focus is on him being the shepherd. That was the focus. That whole psalm can be summarized in one sentence. The Lord is my shepherd. So magnify your shepherd this evening. Say, Lord, you are the one leading me. Now, please don't focus on the I shall not want. We tend to focus on the I shall not want part. Tonight, we focus on the shepherd part. We focus on the fact that he's the one leading. We focus that he's the one leading. He's the one that makes me dwell. You know, that's what the focus is, the fact that he's the one. Say, Lord, you are my shepherd. I like that, Jeremiah. As you are praying, I'll read that one out again. Say, there's none like you, O Lord. And remember, you're supposed to talk to your friends like that. You're supposed to talk to your wife like that. He said, honey, there is none like our God. Our God has brought us together. We will do his will in our lives. He's our shepherd. We obey him. In raising our children, we obey him. In spending our money, we obey him. In relating one another, we obey him. Why is the shepherd? There's no need to be afraid. The problem why people make crazy decisions is that they magnify everything else. They take the name of the Lord and place it on a vain thing. So there is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? How can we blame Buhari for the problems in this country? He said, why do you regard man whose breath is in his nostrils? Why do you regard man whose breath is in his nostrils? Even if he's a head of state, why do you regard him? Why don't you say, where is God my maker? Who gives us songs in the night? Why don't you say that? Jeremiah said, there is none like you, O God. You are great, and great is your name in might. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. He said, the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens. He causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth and makes lightning for the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. The portion of the true Israel, the Israel of God, is not like the fake gods. He is the maker of all. And we are the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Come, magnify him, magnify him. I give you an assignment. When you're talking to your friends, say something about the Lord. Say, the Lord is good. The Lord is king. Jesus is Lord. The Lord is the healer. The Lord is the supplier. The Lord knows me inside out. Let's magnify him. Let's magnify him. There is none like him. Let's magnify him. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. He is my deliverer. He is my shield. The horn of my salvation. Let's magnify the Lord. Let's magnify him. Magnify in every with repentance. There are times in which we have given his glory to other things. If you follow me on Twitter, I said the other day, God cannot give you money until he first explains to you money is not God. Worship him again this and say, Lord, you are God. Money is not God. That is, my needs are supplied by you, not by money. I need you, I don't need money. I need you, Lord, I need you. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Let's worship him this evening. Let's give him thanks. Our Father, we praise you. We acknowledge you as God. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. You know, one thing that God told Moses, that he should tell Aaron, that Aaron should do to the people of Israel was to place God's name and use it to bless them. That is, to invoke God's name on them. He will say to them, he said, thus you will bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Are you getting my point? He said, when you say that, thing, you will now, by doing that, you will place my name on them, and then I will turn around and I will bless them. When you want to bless people, that's how you do it also. Just carry God's name put on their head. When you look at somebody and say that the Lord is your supplier. If that fellow says amen, he will not lack again. I hope you're getting my point. I bless you this evening. He said, the Lord is your supplier.
Amen.
The Lord's face shines on you.
Amen.
The Lord is your defense.
Amen.
He's your protector.
Amen.
He's a shield at your right hand.
Amen.
For his sake, the sun will not smite you by day.
Amen.
Nor the moon by night.
Amen.
The Lord will keep you in all your ways.
Amen.
He's your keeper.
Amen.
He's your keeper.
Amen.
He's your healer.
Amen.
He's your leader.
Amen.
Yes, he's leading you. He's your leader.
Amen.
He's leading you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Amen.
Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will have no cause to fear evil.
Amen.
You will see the Lord, you will not see troubles.
Amen.
Oh God, I pray you will see him alone.
Amen.
Yes, you will see the Lord, you will not see trouble.
Amen.
When people see the Lord, they fall asleep in the midst of adversity. Why do you think Elisha was sleeping? When his servant was running up and down, alas, what shall we do? How shall we do? It was what he saw. I say you will see the Lord.
Amen.
He will manifest himself to you.
Amen.
Father, I pray for your children. Manifest yourself to them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, let me tell you, God wants to take away your fears. And let me say, listen to this. He's going to do something that will become a reference for you, that will make prophetic word doubly sure for you.
Amen.
You will be flat broke. God will not send money, but he will send supplies.
Amen.
Let me say that again. No? The Lord wants to show somebody here. You know what he said to them? He made you hungry, then he fed you with manna. So that you will understand that man does not live by bread alone. What he was saying is that man's resources is not what he needs to supply his own needs. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God shall a man live. What God does, sometimes he puts you into a straight place. Then he will supply your needs so that after that you know, yes, God is with me. After that, life will seem to be moving normally. But he will have given you a crisis point from which point you will never forget a particular scripture again. It will happen to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will be, somebody here, you will be sick or you are sick right now. God will heal you so dramatically, you will know Jesus is alive and is a healer.
Amen.
There are people there. God will do something for you.
Amen.
No, I've not said anything before you say amen. Wait. He will take you to a place where your best connections can't take you to.
Amen.
Then when you reach there or not, before you finish amen, he'll tell you now, go away. Don't use it for anything. I just want you to know that I hold the power. So after now, I don't want to see worry again. And that's what he did to Peter. He gave him so much fish. He said, now, let's stop fishing business. So you've seen that it's not by strength that the man will prevail. That's what he did to Peter. After that, I told Peter, let's go. Peter said, I will follow you. Because Peter understood that by strength shall no man prevail. The miracle that will teach you that lesson will happen to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, after now, you will not regard man whose breath is in his nostrils.
Amen.
You won't do anything to please any human being. You only do them because it's the right thing to do.
Amen.
Yes, because you won't fear again. You won't fear loss of a job.
Amen.
There are those that fear of loss of work is why they are diligent. And that is not a blessing. They don't want to be sacked, so they work very hard. So the more they work hard, the less God blesses them. Because they're not working hard for the right reasons. That fear disappears from you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Henceforth, you will do your work for the right reasons.
Amen.
Yeah, why? Because you are a child of God, you are a blessing. There's grace with you. You are showing forth the excellencies of your Father. That's why you work as a child of God. Not because you are afraid to be sacked. Because if one door closes, another one will open. And listen to me, if in the next 2 weeks you get sacked from somewhere, I want you to rejoice. I don't mean just to calm yourself, be happy. Because you know what it means? under this unction, what God is saying, that can only happen when I'm taking you to another level.
Amen.
So don't kill it with fear. Don't kill it with sorrow. You are going to rejoice if it happens to you. Amen. Sometimes it's not sack. It's not like they sack you. Just get to work. And what happens? They say the company is folding up. So say, what are we going to eat? No, don't think like that. Or your company will just say, see, this Enugu has not been very good for us. We are thinking of relocating. We are going all the way. We are moving somewhere else. You want to come with us? And your spirit says, no, I'm not going. It's in that case, we'll pay you 1 month's salary or 3 months. Then we'll close. Don't worry. Just rejoice and be glad. Because God is taking somebody to a new level.
Amen.
You know why? Let's talk about God. Not from the east, not from the west, not from the south comes exaltation. But God is judge. Somebody say, God is judge.
God is judge.
Please go and read my track, Daniel. That's what I discussed in that book. And that's why my name is Daniel. I wasn't born Daniel. I picked the name by myself as an adult. Tell you the truth. Because I saw, you know what Daniel means? God my judge. He said, God is judge. When I read that scripture, Daniel. That's what it means. God is my judge. I went and changed my name to Daniel. I said, because I'm going somewhere great in life, and only God can take me there. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
And let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication, dominion, and manifestation in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Quickly bless the people around you. Say, this is your season.